obviously a lot of pressure to try and replicate what we'd done a couple of years ago.
Raheem Sterling! And he celebrates with a giant hug with his manager.
We know the reasons, but, you know, we've lost four players that were real catalysts for this team.
Straight into Brendan Rodgers' arms.
How's the writing's on the
wall? I think the manner of the last two defeats to West Ham and Manchester United has been an absolute blow in the guts for Liverpool fans.
There's obviously pressure, probably, to sell newspapers.
And the manager today in his programme notes is having to almost appeal, almost beg to the fans, don't leave us now.
And whether it's me as manager or someone else's manager, it's going to take time.
Brendan Rodgers, 3 years in charge of Liverpool, is at an end tonight.
Pressure comes upon you very, very quickly in the Barclays Premier League these days.
The Premier League club announced they'd parted company with their manager a few hours after their 1-1 draw at Everton.
So, yeah, it's a good point away from home and what's always a tough game, the Merseyside game.
As the writing's on.
It's not rocket science, we've lost top players.
It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
And a very good evening to you. I'm Steve Hothersall, Aldo and Sharpie in the studio. We've got a brand new owner. We sound like we've moved on.
And the dust has settled.
The writing is on the wall, it said on that music. Look, we will talk about the derby in a bit more depth later. But Brendan Rodgers, the writing was on the wall for him, wasn't it?
Well, you know, he was walking a thin line, as the quote goes. We all know that. Social media had been bombarded, you know, with a lot of Liverpool fans. A massive percentage wanted the manager out, didn't he? So I'm sure the Americans were aware of that. It was just the timing, to me, didn't really make sense. Mm. You know, they've given him 80-odd million to spend in the summer. And we're only a couple of months into the season. Okay, it's not been great. But after a derby, you know, where anyone who goes to Goodison and gets a point is a good result. That's a tough place to go, especially when it's a derby. You settle for that, so it was a little bit strange. I didn't expect it. You know, can't say that I was surprised, because
he'd probably been easier to take if they'd been beaten.
Yeah,
if they'd been beaten 3-0 or something, then you'd have thought, right, that's him, he's gone, kind of thing. But as John says, you know, 8 games in, a draw. Look at the league position. You know, they're not that far away, are they, kind of thing. So I think that was a surprise element of it. You know, listen, we've had punters on here phoning in saying it was the games have been poor, they've been bad spectacles, kind of thing. So the pressure was always on them. But as John says, maybe didn't think it was going to happen that quickly.
Yeah, I think still the Stoke City results fresh in people's minds. That's not going to... The performance against Man United was awful. Awful the other week. Aston Villa had the semi-final of the Cup. The FA Cup. That was dreadful. Semi-final of the FA Cup.
Yeah, you mentioned Stoke, but actually it's many games before
Man United at home. It's just not been right for the vast part of last season and the start of this season. And, you know, he brought some £80 million on players. Okay, to be fair, he's had a few injuries, you know, Firmino, Henderson, Benteke and such. But, you know, with the squad of players we've got now, you'd expect better. Because it's a real good squad of players across the world. Okay, we're lacking the three or two world-class players that we had a few years ago, you know, to get us, you know, up there vying against your big guns. So, we just have to move on now and see what the future brings.
Don't you think, Aldo, as well, you were talking about the games you mentioned, Villa, Stoke away. I think if it happened then in the close season and they said... Listen, this hasn't been good enough. Yeah. You know, Villa, you know, Stoke, six. You
absolutely.
Know, when have you ever seen a Liverpool team...
Crystal Palace are on 3-1.
...capitulate that way? So you're thinking, maybe at the tail end of last season, you would have said, yeah, that was probably the time to do it. But as John says here, I can't get my head round giving them all the money in the summer and giving them 8 games. That, to me... And we talk about new managers coming in and the way Liverpool work with the system and that... Was that Brendan Rodgers' choice of those players that he brought in the summer, or was it this committee kind of thing?
No one knows.
So if it's this committee, They should be looking to get out the
absolutely,
door.
Absolutely, you know, there's no clarity in that. Yeah. Everyone hides behind each other. Who's, you know, we hear the names of the transfer committee. What's the job description? You know, I'd love to know. Okay, you know, they might want you to know, but we should know. Mm-hmm. You know, the chief scouts, you're going to get the best players. If you don't get the best players, then you're next on the line. You know, you'd have to know, like the old regime, the way it worked. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with the old regime. You know, Everton still do it. You're chief scout, and then across the board. You know, for me, this transfer, I hope the manager who comes and says, not having a transfer committee, I buy who I want. They're my players. If it doesn't work, it's my fault. End the story. And that's the way it should be done. You know, far too many players have come in. We know. And the amount of money that Liverpool has spent, it's amazing. It really is, you know what I mean? And
you live or die by your transfers.
Absolutely,
don't you
do. Brendan, if he didn't do it, he should have come out and said, well, you know, I haven't bought them. He may do now, unless there's a contract on the table where he can't say A, B and C, you know, but certainly that will have to be looked at, you know, stringently to whoever comes in, whether it's Klopp or whoever. You know, I hope they've got their own men and they boss it their own way.
Well, the Americans will do that. You know, I think maybe the Americans in a desperate situation now where everybody's hanging their hat on Klopp. You know, so are they having to say, well, hold on a minute, if he comes in and says he doesn't want this transfer committee, are we going to say, okay, fair enough, we'll go with him, or are we going to turn around and say, no, this is the way we work? Yeah. And so I've been interested in wanting to see what happens.
They also, as well, Sharpie, you know, if he comes in, whoever comes in wants his own players, you know, to fit his own system. We just spent 80 million in the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a transfer window in January, he'll want to do something. Surely, and that's where it doesn't really make sense. Like Sharpie said, if he's going to get done, it should have been in the summer when he can bring his own players that fits and employs the system which upon he works. You know, but he'll have to just make do with what he's got. He's got some good players there, and then down the line he'll have to filter it out who he doesn't want and look to who he wants to bring in. And it's going to cost the club, you know, bigger in the long run with having to buy a lot of players. You don't know how many players he might want, and that'll be within the contract when he negotiates with them. He'll say, well, I want so many players as well. You're going to have to guarantee that I'll have so much money as well. So,
okay, well, Brendan's actually released a statement in the past hour. He says he's incredibly disappointed to have been sacked, but he says the current squad will grow and develop. It's quite a dignified statement, and actually, obviously, there was a brilliant season 2013-14 that people will remember him by, but there were other lower times as well. If you want to get involved in the chat with the guys, Aldo and Sharpie, you can ring the Radio City Legends 0151 4720967, 4720967. First up tonight, let's welcome Paul, who's a Red. He's on the line. Hi, Paul.
Hello, mate. You okay?
Good stuff. You got Aldo and Sharp here. What's the point you want to make?
The two lads have just covered it completely. Everything I was going to say, the two lads have just said in the last 5 minutes. I'm absolutely stunned beyond belief that 7 games into the season, are we really in a position where we needed to sack a manager, regardless of what you think about Brendan Rodgers, whether he was the man for the job or he wasn't, whether he should have got the job in the first place. Whoever was in charge, are we in a position where we needed to sack a manager? We're 4 points off second place. I'm playing devil's advocate here. We're undefeated in the last 5 games. You're still competing on 4 fronts. And John will bear me out on this. 2 weeks ago, mate, if Coutinho would have slid Ings in for a tap-in, which he could have got down on his knees and edited it like he did at school.
Yeah.
Then we'd have been 2 points.
The Norwich game.
Mm-hmm. The Norwich game, John. You know, and as Graham even touched on it, the money that the club spent in the summer and then sack him 7 games into the season, I'm bewildered. So the only where I think Brendan has let himself down badly was accepting the job. And again, lads, you touched on it, on them terms and conditions. I mean, there was rumours sweeping the city that Martinez knocked the job back because he wanted to buy and he wanted to have the say on who he bought and sold, and rightly so. I'm not saying Martinez would have been the right man, I'm not saying he wouldn't have been, but any manager that comes in has to buy and sell own players.
Absolutely.
Paul, do you think when he replaced his backroom staff, do you think that had anything? What was your thinking in that, when the fact that Mike Marsh went and the boy Colin Pascoe went as well, and they brought in Gary Mack and the boy Sean O'Driscoll? Do you think that harmed Brendan in any way?
I don't know whether they harmed him. I think he touched on it before. I think it was just a case of freshening things up. Things were going a little bit. The run into the end of last season was, last season was awful.
That's to say, Paul, on that score, sorry, mate, on that score, you like a lot of Liverpool fans that I've spoke to. You were saying, well, if they were in the position that Brendan was, you wouldn't allow that to happen to fans, because you know they were made to look like a scapegoat in many ways. Marshy and Pascoe, a lot of Liverpool fans that I've known said that they couldn't believe that happened, and Brendan didn't stand up for them. Was you one of them?
No, I had an open mind, but because you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. You don't know whether he's been told, look, we're going to change the backroom staff. I'd like to think he was man enough to if he didn't have anything to do with it. But then if he hasn't got to say on who he buys and sells, he hasn't come out and said that either, has he, when he could have done?
Yeah.
Paul, great points. Yep. Thank you very much indeed. Great to hear from you tonight. Let's move on. Jonathan's a Red, who's in Chilwell. Evening to you, Jonathan. What's your thoughts? Was it right to get rid of Brendan?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. I think, I wanted to make a different point, but all I'd do is I'd draw you to Souness's comments yesterday. You know, and I'm not slagging Rodgers here. 2013-14 is one of the best seasons of my life. It was amazing. It was fantastic. But I'd refer you back to what Souness said. On the basis that Dalglish got sacked for getting to two finals, winning one, and finishing seventh, how Rodgers kept the job after the first season, I don't know, you know what I mean? But the point that I come on to make is this transfer committee talk, it just winds me up to death, because he's on that transfer committee. Now, you know as well as I do, like, Markovic, right, Sacco, those players, if he stands up and says, look, I know that on paper they're good players, but they're not going to get near my team, and I don't think you should spend 20 million on it. Do you think that transfer committee is going to go out and spend the 20 million or the 18 million? They're not going to do it. He's on the transfer committee. If he really doesn't want a player and he says, look, I don't want this player, he's not going to get a game under me. Or if it does, it's going to be due to injuries or last chance, you know, I've got no one else to put in. They're not going to buy the player.
That's a brilliant point, guys. What do you think on that?
Yeah, that seems sensible, but you don't know, do you? You don't know just how powerful that the transfer committee is. You don't know the ones who are pulling the strings. You know, listen, you like in any day in football, you would like to say the manager has a fine word, and I agree with what you're saying and what is going on. But let me tell you, the way football works now, and it's not just been at Liverpool, it's been at Tottenham and it's been at other clubs as well, with people who have got big things to say about football, haven't actually played football, but they'll decide. Yeah. The manager carries it. I'm not saying this is a case with Liverpool, but let me tell you, I would like to think that's the way it was with Brendan Rodgers, but I wouldn't be 100% sure it happened that way, because I think there's too many people now involved in making football decisions who don't know anything about football.
Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing with that transfer committee. I think that's one of the reasons that he's on his way out, because the fact of the matter is you can tell 1,000,000% which players he was right behind and which players he wasn't. Al Lovren kept his place in that team last season and started this season. I don't know. That was a player that he was desperate for, that he badly wanted. Markovic, 20 million quid, had a great season the season before we got him. He gives him a chance at right wing back. He's never played there in his life. He's never played there in his life. And the only time he gets in the side is right wing back. And you know what? Or sorry, left wing back. And when he does, away at Bournemouth in the League Cup, when we were absolutely terrible, he scores a cracker and sets another one up and doesn't get near the team again now for a few more games.
It's a good point. You know what you say, you have to say, because you can actually see, you know, that's transparent, isn't it? Because you can see what players, you know, he's filtered out, and it's right. We don't know how this committee works. We haven't got a clue. No one's ever come out. There was a piece in the Echo not long ago saying, showing you the four people and what they actually do, and one was a stats, you know, whiz kid and all that. But you just don't know. But what you're saying is right, because Brendan played the players that he wanted, like Alan and players like that, who he probably wanted, was favourable for, and others who have they come in, he's filtered them. We bought Markovic for 20 million for one season. He's gone on loan. £20 million. It's crazy.
Absolute madness. He's gone to a league where he'll arguably learn nothing for coming back to the Premier League as well, hasn't he?
Absolutely. It's madness.
He's bought Benteke, who thrives on crosses and balls into the box. And who in that Liverpool squad now sticks out as who can do that? I potentially... The one who either said who you've got the best chance of getting to the byline and putting a ball in is Markovic. He's gone on loan to Fenerbahce.
Jonathan, great to hear from you. Who would you like as the new boss?
Personally, it's not the most popular. I would have liked Ancelotti just because he is a winner, but I can see the fit with Klopp because he fits the FSG model. He's got something to prove. I suppose the worry you've got with someone like Ancelotti is wherever he's been at clubs where they're expected to win the league or you're in a chance of losing your job. Whereas he's coming into a different situation with Liverpool if he comes to Liverpool because he needs to get into the Champions League, whereas he's used to... You either win one of the big ones or you're gone. You know what I mean? Whereas Klopp, he's more of a project man, if you know what I mean. Ancelotti's my preference, but Klopp seems like the best fit for FSG. And
brilliant call. Thank you very much indeed, Jonathan. Have a great night.
Sam Allardyce has come into the bench.
He has. There's a blue in the studio.
He's just threw his hat in the ring. So it's a big hat as well.
Okay, Darren in Kirkdale. If Sam Allardyce was announced as the new Liverpool manager, Darren, what would you be doing tonight?
I'd be getting off the country, I think.
No, he saved himself for the England job, apparently.
Real Madrid job.
Evening, welcome to the Legends. What's on your mind?
It's just a follow-up, really. It's touching on the last comment the lad made. It's about going forward, in particular, the two lads that I mentioned to take the job. I mean, there's a big clamour for Klopp, lads. I just think that I think Ancelotti's the right man for us. And a couple of reasons for that is probably one a little bit in depth. I mean, he's had experience in the Premier League, which is a massive thing for me. Yeah. But I think, John, a big thing for us the last few seasons is teams coming to Anfield and just sitting in with 10 men behind the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll know how to play against teams like that, managing the likes of your PSGs and Reals. I think he'll know how to break teams down a lot better.
Yeah,
I don't know an awful lot on Klopp, but reading about him, he plays a really aggressive counter-attack. And when Dortmund fell off a cliff in that last season, he allegedly struggled when teams come and gave up possession to him.
I'm with you on that, I have to say, because I slightly favour Ancelotti myself because of his CV, and I'm sure he wouldn't have no nonsense, he'd be the boss. But what was I going to say there? It's just slipped my mind. It was just I've gone astray now. It was something.
would he buy in, John, to the transfer committee? Ancelotti?
No. That's what I want. He'll ditch that, you know.
But do you think he might be too strong for the American owners?
Well, that could be a problem. Because you know, it's obvious, you know. That's what I was going to say. When the caller said about, you know, we can't break teams down. If Brendan Rodgers had a major flaw for me, was he couldn't... His tactics at times were hard to understand, really hard to understand. And in Europe, woeful in Europe, you know, woeful. We just had nothing tactically. You know, where Benitez's forte, I have to say, his forte was tactically, he was excellent, you know, especially in Europe. Had it off, knew how to do it, knew how to compete. In Europe, we are miles behind.
Also knew how to get us into the top four every year.
Yeah, you know, and in the league sometimes, you know, his tactics left a little bit to be desired, you know, and when we were nearly in touching distance of winning the league, you know, and to be fair, he's a young manager, Brendan Rodgers. He's fairly inexperienced compared to other ones, and I think that caught him out, you know, in his tender at Liverpool.
That's got to be the benchmark, John, and those Champions League nights from like 07 to 09, that's got to be the benchmark. And I don't want to slag Brendan off. But
no, I don't. What I'm saying is, you know, you look at the games in Europe last year, we had no tactics. No, yeah, tactics in the championship. This year, I'm not being funny, Bordeaux and Sion. I haven't seen anything that's changed my mind in Europe. You know, I've watched a lot of Europe games and some of the teams in the countries, tactically, are brilliant. Absolutely yeah. brilliant. Hopefully we'll get there anyway, you know, down the line, and whether it's with Klopp or Ancelotti. For me, it's got to be one of them two. I don't know what you think.
Darren?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I don't want to, just a final one on Brendan. I mean, I know we had 3 years here and he talked a lot about the philosophy, but I still don't know what his philosophy is, and he's left the club, do you know what I mean? And he talked about a passion football out in the back, and we didn't want a big man, he got rid of Carroll, but then he buys Benteke, he wants a keeper to play as effectively a centre-half, and he goes and buys Mignolet, or does he? But, you know, it just all become a bit confusing in the end, and I just think we need that big character now to get us back up there.
Top man, thanks very much for your call, Darren. This is where you'll find the best football conversation in the city. Was there a derby yesterday? No one's talked about it. The Blues, if you do want to ring in, maybe later on.
We can talk about your man of the match. Atkinson, the referee. He was Liverpool's best player.
you're trying to stoke it up for the Blues
useless.
Here.
He was useless.
0151 472 0967. We'll also ask the lads after this break. Should Stephen Gerrard and Jamie Carragher both been on the show in recent weeks? Should they actually have an involvement now in what happens? Given that there's, you know, there isn't any Scousers in the dressing room. Should the owners be going to them and just asking for a little thought? If you want to get involved, 0151 472 0967. It's the Radio City Legends.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Victor Moses closed down. It's a throw-in for City on the right.
Yeah, about a minute, Steve.
Referee! You beauty! Get in! Well, they've not won the league, but it feels like they have. What a defining victory for Liverpool today. This one was billed as winner takes all, and you never know, it might turn out that way. Liverpool 3, Manchester City 2.
Here's Adam to Diouf, left side of the penalty area. Chips in, oh, Crouch! It's 6-1. Peter Crouch with an assured header into the left corner, and Crouch might have just written the end of this disastrous story for Liverpool in the Potteries. Absolutely smashed to pieces this scoreline, so damaging to Liverpool today.
Oh, welcome back to the Legends. Aldo and Sharp here. The highs and the lows, the highs of nearly winning the league title, the lows of Stoke City away.
To be fair, Stoke City was horrendous. That's horrendous. You know, to be beaten 6-1 is a nightmare for the club of Liverpool stature. At Stoke City, you know, with all due respect to Stoke City, you know, if it's like Benfica or a top club, you know, Europe or, you know, Munich or that, you'd even that hurts.
So he should have gone then?
If he was going to go at all, he's gone. That was the time that it probably should have happened, would have made sense rather than now. You know, because at least someone would have been able to come in and have this cash of money to go out and get the players that he needs to fit his system. Not let Brendan then go out and... Sterling goes in, gets 80 million, brings the players to
But you mentioned something last week, which is a good point. The fact that the building the new stadium now, or the new stand, and they've got all these seats, and the football that's been getting served up hasn't been great. And people, as one of the callers said last week, is maybe starting to begin to vote with their feet and not come. So whether the owners have just looked at that and thought, that's a broader picture, that's a bigger picture here. We've got to make sure that we fill this. And the way things are going at this moment in time, can we afford to give them that length of time? And maybe that's why they thought, wow, let's do it now. Let's get a clean
break. Yeah, it's 8,500. See, and I know a lot of top corporate Liverpool clients, good people, real good people, who aren't happy. And you know, they spend a lot of money yearly at the top tier of Liverpool's corporate system, and the tickets are going up next year. They're paying huge amounts of money next year, and it doesn't matter, they've got the money because they're very rich people, lovely people, but they're not happy. Now, obviously, donors have got to know that. You know, you've got to have a feel good factor to sell corporate tickets, another 8,500, you know, along with the other tickets that go. Mm. You've got to have a winning team, a team that's doing well, who's exciting. Mm. And I think that's had a bit of a burden on it as well, because the selling of the tickets, it started a while ago corporately to try and get them tickets sorted, and it's not 8,500 that's going to season ticket holders, that which you'll sell easy. This is the people, you know, the people what Keane called them, the prawn sandwich brigade. Mm. These are people who put a lot of money back into Liverpool. They're good, fantastic supporters of Liverpool Football Club, and they're not happy.
And the wider point on tickets are on general sale for that last game against Aston Villa. Mm. Yeah, and you don't hear of that. Let's welcome Michael to the show. He's in Halewood. Hiya, Michael.
Hi, lads. You okay?
Hi, Mike.
Get it off your chest, Michael.
I called up a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if they remember me. And I was saying he needed to go. And it is like a waitlisted, really, because it's just... Something I want to touch on, something John said then. He said the time was in the summer. But one thing I'd say to that, FSG have took a bit of stick over the last 24 hours about kind of the time about when they've done it. But we've got to realise is Klopp said he was taking a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. Ancelotti had just had back surgery. And now we find ourselves, all right, we've spent a lot of money and, you know, whatever new manager comes in has got to inherit the squad.
Good point.
But, you know, they might not have been ready to come in, so they've kind of said, well, hang on, we'll see how it goes. If it works, it works. You know what I mean? Rodgers the man, you know, we're up near the top of the table. It's working. If it doesn't, we've got two absolute world-class managers there sitting ready and waiting and willing to come in into a club. Let's be honest, everyone needs a boost, and these two managers are the type of managers that will unite everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone behind it. And
very good point. That could be valid. We don't know, obviously, but it's a real good point.
Well, it's just it's exciting, to be honest with you. I found out yesterday, I had a couple of my mates texting me, I was shameless at the time, lucky I didn't cut myself, to be honest. I got a text, you know, saying he'd gone, and I thought it was a joke at first, and I screamed me out, to be honest, because I'd just been waiting for it. You know, I usually hate it when Liverpool draw, you know, I take it like a defeat, but I was just numb after the derby. It was like, oh, you know, whatever, didn't expect nothing.
It's that initial reaction thing. We were talking before, Sharpie, about that vine of Jamie Carragher sat in the Sky studio and Thierry Henry touches his leg. It's like that shock moment, isn't it?
It was a shock moment. You know, obviously, there was talk about it before the game at Goodison. You know, I thought a few journalists I spoke to thought, you know, it was going to happen this week. I don't think everybody expected it to happen right after the match. But, you know, I'm just going to say something here, and everybody's getting excited about Klopp and everything else. Yeah, he's won two Bundesliga titles. I think he's won the similar FA Cup kind of thing. Got to Champions League final. But he's also nearly got them relegated. Mm. So, whilst he comes, I think you've got to be careful. It's not this Messiah's coming kind of thing. He's an experienced manager, and he has got a decent track record, not in terms of Ancelotti. I think he's the top man there kind of thing, if you're drawing two comparisons. So, whilst it's great to be looking at Klopp and, he'll be this for us and be that, only time will tell. You know, so, you know, yeah, good candidate, but will he have the same problem that Brendan Rodgers had? You know, it's a really complex thing at this moment in time. Everybody's guessing, second guessing about transfer committees and everything else and what power he's going to get. It's a really, really difficult time. Only he'll know that with FSG. But it will be an interesting one. He comes in, how much money they give him, John, you said in January. Do they give him any money in January? Do they wait till the summer? How much money do they invest then? How does he look at the players? The boys are out on loan. It's a big, big job. You know, it's not an easy job. It's a massive job. Yeah. It's a massive job to get Liverpool back to being challengers for the top four and Champions League and everything else. So it's not an easy decision to make. Yeah, he'll come and then, oh, he's done this and he's done that. I'm not sure. I think Ancelotti, as John says, is a better fix because of his record, you know, in Champions League and the massive clubs he's managed. Dortmund's a big club and it's got great supporters, similar to Liverpool, but...
It's funny how Liverpool fans associate with the personality of Klopp, isn't it? The maverick, you know, the big personality. Mm. It's almost like they want something different from what they've got now.
Mm. that's all right if it works. If it's working.
Every time, it doesn't matter whoever you bring in, there's always a massive element of risk. You just hope that the gamble pays off.
Michael, quick one for you. Ancelotti, Klopp.
I'd say I'd bite your hand off for either. I'd say Ancelotti's got the experience, but to be honest with you, I've been miserable lately with everything that's going on. The only thing that's consoled me really is that my brother-in-law's a Newcastle fan, so...
And we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for your call. Let's get on to Chris. He's in Speak. Thanks for calling the Radio City Legends. Chris, make your point.
Evening chaps.
Hi, Chris.
First of all, Derby yesterday, an enjoyable game. I haven't seen a Derby like that for a long time. Just, you know, cutting close with both teams. But I'd like to hit on the committee again. I know it's going back over the same thing, but like you say, when another manager comes in, who's going to, you know, decide all the players that they want? Why have they brought these committees in? Why have they got a committee to decide who plays for the team? Shouldn't that be down to the manager and that's it, end of?
Well, I think Liverpool are the only team that does it, as far as I'm aware. I don't know anyone else.
They used to do it, didn't they?
It didn't work for them. They bought a load of garbage, didn't they?
Exactly. It's the same thing.
We saw them before the show, and you know, we're old school, me and Graham, and that's the way it's always worked for me. You know, the manager has the last say. Your chief scout goes out, he oversees everything, you know, your international scouts, and he comes back and with the player to fit the bill for whatever position you want him to play and what you want of him within that position. And he gives you the candidates, you then run the rule over it. You get on the plane yourself as well and go out and have a little look a couple of times, you know, as well as the videos.
Tottenham have just sacked their man, Franco Baldini, haven't
they?
They realised he wasn't going to work. We almost need someone who found Luis Suarez? Who went out there? Who was, you know, Kenny was in charge, but he didn't find it. How did they source Luis Suarez?
Well, I don't think it was a transfer committee. I'm sure it was a football man that's obviously in the know. It's in the know and said, listen, I hate to say this, but he'd have to be a blind man if he couldn't see that Suarez was a good player. You know what I mean? So
why did no one else sign him?
Well, I'm sure some other people looked at him, but it's opinion. It's opinion.
He wants to come to Liverpool.
Yeah, and it's his choice at the end of it. You know, so it's opinion as well. But what it is, it's a football decision. It's not for somebody sitting behind the desk to decide who we're going to bring into the football club. That's why I think it's madness. Let the football people deal with football matters. Let the accountants and everything else to deal with all the money.
Graham, you hit the nail on the head there, fella. There's just too many money men in the game now.
Chris,
the change is happening. What do you want to see happening in the next week and a half?
Well, I would like to see Ancelotti, but my wife is a blue. My wife is a blue, Graham, and she wants Allardyce, and I don't know why.
He's terrible. Thanks very much, Chris. I love this Allardyce rumour you've started, Sharpie. We've got a couple of minutes. I mentioned before the break, if Steven Gerrard was still at the football club, would he be standing manager at the moment?
Probably. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's an interesting call, isn't it?
Should Gerrard, should Carragher in any way be spoken to just to assess what they think about how the future of the club is? I'm not saying he should. I'm just throwing it out there. Is that a conversation for the owners, or not? They're not one of the staff, are they?
It's a tough one. It depends with the owners how close it is to Stevie, you know. I don't know. It's a tough one.
When you've got Kenny there as well, you know, so you think they'd ask him.
Yeah,
you know,
Good point. He's
still in there as well. So you think they'd maybe go for a little bit of guidance from somebody who's been there and done it. You know, both as a player as and a manager. You know, but there's no reason why they can't. You know, to Steven Gerrard and Jamie Carragher. But I think they've got somebody already in there and Kenny, and I think they might bounce a few things off him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for your calls as always. Got some more coming up. You did want to get in touch on the social media. We've never really sort of laid it in stone, but the Radio City Talk one on Twitter is the way to get in touch with the lads in the studio. So if you wanted to send a message, it's at Radio City Talk. And of course, Sharpie and Aldo are here tonight, and the conversation's been all about Liverpool, although of course, we just had that caller then saying they loved the derby. And Sharpie, you went, hang on. What did you love about the derby?
It was a strange one.
Louis said he loved the derby and he was on, yeah, obviously, before.
I've seen much worse derbies. I've seen much better ones. It was, but I have to say, I thought all the players, well, you know, maybe about one or two on Liverpool, gave everything, but everything, you know, for the teams and the managers. So a couple of Liverpool players I thought could have given a little bit more, but it was, I was really impressed, I have to say, with Everton's two fullbacks, the young lads who's come through the ranks. You know, I think, did they buy one from Milton Keynes?
Yeah, Brendan Gallagher.
Very employed, because I was saying before, I hope Liverpool have a proper go at these young lads and test them out at the derby, and they stood up to Everton. You know, Jaggy Elk at the back was tremendous. Mignolet for us was our best player.
What a save from Naismith's header. Yeah. Outstanding save.
Let's quickly, before we get to the break, hear from Jay, who's a Red, who's got in touch with us. Evening to you, Jay.
Hiya, mate. You all right?
Yeah. Hi, Jay. All right, mate.
Hi, Jim.
Go on, start it off, Jay. God, are you excited or on the flat?
I just
flat?
Wanted, Nan. You haven't got me excited talking about that yesterday, but I just wanted to talk about Brendan. I know everyone is bringing up, he's mentioning about you know, how good the other season was, the 13-14. Like, I've got a different view on it all, to be honest. I think he was half the problem that they ended up, like, capitulating towards the end. Do you know what I mean? It was a... I don't know, I think it must have been such an easy job to train these players on the training pitch. You know, you've got Luis Suarez, the best striker in the world at the time. So, you know, if he's on the training pitch, it's not hard to get them all smiling. Raheem Sterling, and the way they, pressing the ball, and as soon as a team made a mistake against them, they were all off running into different directions, and teams just couldn't cope. But I just wanted to bring that Chelsea game, and there's a couple this season where I just think tactically he's just been completely, like, doesn't have a clue, because in that Chelsea game, that wasn't a must-win game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All we needed from that was a draw.
Yeah.
And the way that Gerrard was the last man, because we were too busy down the wings trying to get round them, I think sometimes you need to send your team out and think, you know what, today we don't lose. But they were too open, far too open, got caught out. Now, he has disappointed me.
Jay, we have to hit a break, but these guys are going to respond to what you said just there, and we do appreciate you coming on and saying that. I think it's fascinating because that's a completely opposite point of view, so thank you very much indeed for that. We're going to take a short break here, and the Radio City Legends with Sharpie and Aldo will be back soon.
This is Radio City Talk.
It's Radio City Talk.
It's the Radio City Legends, and Sharpie and Aldo are in the studio tonight, and thanks for all your calls so far. There was a point made by Jay just before the break, and he sort of said, well, look, while everyone's saying 2013-14 was amazing, it wasn't in my eyes, and I think Brendan was fundamentally sort of flawed for what happened. Would you go with any of that or not?
Tough one, isn't it? I can understand what he said, you know, because we went into the Chelsea game, the way we were, we were blowing everyone apart after the Arsenal game. We were so high, you know, the what we see in the football, and against Everton as well, was absolutely fantastic. And we thought, well, Chelsea are coming here, they can have more of the same. And we got carried away with it as well, don't forget. We think, we'll do these, we'll turn these over, no problem. You know, Mourinho came with the plan, a master plan, which we needed an early goal, and it would have been completely different. We didn't get the goal, and we started panicking, you know, and then, you know, the inevitable happened, you know, and it happened to Stevie Gerrard, and he's right, because it is a game where we didn't have to chase it that much, you know. Hindsight's a great thing, isn't it? Hindsight's a great thing.
Okay, there was a derby. Blues were involved, and so we got our first blue caller of the evening, Gaz in West Derby. Welcome to the show, Gaz. Who would you like to see as a new Liverpool manager?
Gaz, help me. I'm getting swamped here.
God, give us a name.
Don't say Allardyce, Gaz, whatever you do.
I thought I was coming on the outfield that day.
Yeah.
who would I like as Liverpool manager? I'd like Brendan Rodgers to still be there.
Go on, make your point. It's about the derby, Gaz.
The point of the derby I'd like to make to Graham is I enjoyed the derby. Come away initially disappointed with a draw.
Yeah.
Thought we finished it strong, but you know, like hours later when I'd sort of sat down and had time to think about what I'd seen, there was two things really that impressed me more than anything else. And firstly, it was the defence. When you look at who we had in defence, three lads who've got hardly any experience at all, let alone Derby experience.
Yeah.
And you think, the way they played, and who we didn't have in Baines and Coleman Stones to add to that, I thought, there's not going to be many teams in the Premier League who've got that quality.
Yeah.
You've got that quality right across the defence, strength and depth. And I thought, that's just amazing.
Mm.
And the other thing was a guy who I'm still not 100% over, but in Romelu Lukaku, I thought he had his best game for his first touch yesterday.
Yeah,
totally. His first touch was the best I've seen him.
Mm.
And if he could bring that into his game on a regular basis, we've got a player.
Oh, all day long. Yeah, guys, I'd looked at him and I thought, well, he's up for this one. You know, he was winning headers. I thought he might struggle when balls were going forward and he was winning headers. I'm thinking, aye, he's not done that for a while because his timing's out kind of thing. But it looked as if he was up for it. He won the first header. What disappointed me was every time he went for a header, nobody ran in behind. You know, he was winning flick-ons and nobody was running in, and Tillefield wasn't gambling on the right-hand side. But no, I agree with both of you. I think the kids as well. You know, Browning and Galloway. Galloway has been exceptional. You know, quick, strong. Yeah, he gets caught maybe once or twice ball watching. But the one that impressed me, guys, was and I had doubts about him before the game. I'm thinking, how's he going to cope? Was the Argentinian Morey? But he did well again.
I'll tell you what, lads. Looking from a Liverpool point of view, I thought Jagielka was immense.
Mm.
You know, he pulled off. He got three last-ditch challenges there, and they were brilliant. And he's a proper marshal for the three of them, like a father figure.
Yeah.
You know, and he was different class. You know, out of all the players, I said, like, you know, for me, I thought Jagielka was man of the match. You know, I really did. People give it to Lukaku, people give it to Mignolet, but he was superb.
Guys, it felt like a game that Everton should have won, didn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought we finished really strong. You know, Liverpool were on the back foot for what seemed like, you know, the last 20 minutes, I'd say. But, you know, we finished the West Brom game strong as well, which is a good sign for any team if you're finishing games in that manner. So, yeah, I come out the ground and I was disappointed.
Mm.
Absolutely disappointed.
Well, guys, I'm going to ask you one thing. What about the referee?
Oh, well, don't talk to me about my...
He wasn't good for both sides,
was he?
He
was useless.
It's a shame that we've got this guy's supposed to be a professional, you know, and if he bottles it, I mean, I know that, you know, John will say, we'll call into, you know, count the Ross Barkley, what he should have got booked for kicking the ball away with other men.
He should have petulance that one, yeah. I thought early on the referee done the right thing. He didn't put himself under pressure by getting the bookings out left, right and centre, because we were talking about that on Friday, and I applauded him for that. But all of a sudden he lost it, didn't he? You know, Lucas was very fortunate to stay on the field, you know, but he booked him for a fantastic challenge when he nipped the ball, and then when he should have got picked afterwards,
he should have been sent off, shouldn't he?
But you know, the one that done me was it, very quickly Evan tried to take a free kick quickly and the ball was rolling and they were in and he pulled it back.
Yeah.
Went, oh, what's going on here? Mm. And then Liverpool had him about 10 minutes to go and they were through.
They were through
and it was the same thing. What's going on there?
Gaz, top caller. We're going to get you on again in the future. Thank you very much indeed.
Well,
cheers.
Alex, he's a Red in Stockbridge Village. Welcome to the Legends, Alex.
Thanks very much. Cheers for having us on.
No
problem. It's Alex, pal.
My point is, I'm worried about FSG in charge of the club. Yeah, I understand he might know how to run a business or a sporting business, but we've been here 5 years. We've had three managers. Nobody wanted Roy Hodgson. They employed him. Nobody wanted Kenny Sachin. They sacked him. And nobody wanted Brendan Rodgers bringing in. And he brought him in. To me, their policy is about stats and figures. Now, stats work in American sports, not in English football. And, you know, they need to get this one right. They have to get this one right. They're trying to extend the stadium. And as I heard Aldo say the other day, he won't fill it if it carries on being mediocre.
Alex, you've just nailed it. They have to get it right this time,
they
don't they?
They've got to get it right. Absolutely. Stats, you know, and yeah, I read a lot about FSG, you know, Donald, the integral you know, part of it, you know, to 100%. But certainly, they go an awful lot on stats. And we're talking about the transfer committee, you know, there's a stats man involved in the transfer committee.
It's a good point, because we're getting carried away with all this, you know, stats. Yeah. Who's made the most passes? Who's
it's
run
about putting the ball in the back of the net? Exactly. Isn't it? It doesn't matter, and defending, which we can't. The one thing I'm looking forward to is you know, someone hopefully who comes in and can get our defenders to have self-belief in themselves and defend properly and not gift goals. That was a gift for Everton yesterday. Mm. Right on half-time, a gift, you know, decent ball in the box, should have been dealt with. Again, panic. Anytime we put a good ball into the box, panic, alarm set off. And we've been doing it for a long, long time. And I'd love to see us get back to getting clean sheets and grinding results out.
Might take a while. But Alex, where's your faith lie? Carlo Ancelotti, Jurgen Klopp, someone else?
Klopp's charismatic and the fans will absolutely love Klopp and all that. Mm-hmm. If it's to be Ancelotti, I won't be disappointed.
Okay. I'd like Diego Simeone.
I like him.
He's a good manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very passionate, and we like to see passion on the sidelines. You do. I don't care what you say. You want the manager to have his head screwed on and look at it, the big wider picture. But you want to see him show a bit of passion, don't you?
I think it'd be hard to pull him away from Atletico Madrid at the moment. I think he's on a project there. Kind of thing. The other two lads are, you know, out of job, so it'd be easy for them to come in.
Alex, brilliant to hear from you tonight. We got the best callers, of course. We have, it's the Radio City Legends. They've all been great tonight.
Some great callers there.
Superb,
some great
points, haven't they? It's a massive sort of juncture in Liverpool's, I would say, career lifespan, isn't it? If you look at it, we've got 30 seconds to wrap this one up.
But it is, you know. It said you've got to get it right. And every time you get a new manager, and you have to get it right. You know, and
big decisions at a big time. You just hope that this one is right for them. But only time will tell. You know, every manager's appointment is a gamble.
Absolutely.
Certainly is, but Klopp seems to be the one. 1-4, is that right, John?
You've
been having a little look at the odds at the moment.
Right in today, yeah. So maybe
just below Allardyce at 1-2.
There's some other funny names in that list as well, aren't there? I think if you go online...
Sharpie said to me, he said, I'll take
Mark Warburton.
He said, I'll take the job. I'll take you down to the Vauxhall Conference.
Well, thank you to the One Blue who took part in the Radio City Legends phone-in tonight. And, of course, thank you to Sharpie and Aldo, as always. I think Aldo's having a breaks and Gary Gillespie's in come the end of the week, and then Roy Evans just after that. For those who didn't get on today, we'll try and get you on at the end of the week. Thanks for joining us. We're back on Friday.